here, and I want to welcome you, your family, wherever you're worshiping today, at home or breakfast somewhere, who knows. But it's good to have you here. It's good to have our New Hope family gathered together for worship today. And I'm so thankful, as Lisa said, for some of you who are here today, and you stepped in, helped out with announcements. You helped out announcements at home, some of you. And I want to thank you for doing that. Thank you for loving God and loving each other well. The things that you keep doing to bless each other. I'm so proud of you, and I'm so excited to be a part of a church family that takes loving, growing, and serving seriously for the kingdom of God. And it makes a difference. And it makes a difference. Woo! Let me see if you know this old adage that says, I have more questions than I do answers. You ever heard that before? You know that one? I have more questions right now than I do answers. And I found that, you know, when those seasons come, my stress level tends to go, whoop. What about you? My anxieties tend to start to creep up and are rising. And for me, that has felt like life over the last several months. What about you? I feel like you have more questions than you do answers about, like, what's coming, what's in front of you. And with that happening today, I would say that if you're getting ready to go back to school, I imagine you probably have more questions right now than you do answers. I know in our house, I've got two, a lot of you probably know, our two kids are going back to school, and my daughter's going to middle school, and so it's a whole new building, and so more questions right now than answers. And my son's going to be a senior, and so what's that senior year going to be look like? And more questions than answers right now. And we just don't have that. And I find that, you know, listen, as a parent, trying to help our children navigate through that unknown, the uncertainties, when you can't have answers and you have to walk blindly into something, that's hard as adults, isn't it? Doing it as a child, as a kid, as a young adult, woo, that's challenging. Is that challenging for you? It's been challenging for me my whole entire life. And I feel like for many of us, and even our church, that's exactly where we are. Even, you know, it is, we were trying to get ready, and we have been working for weeks and months to try to reopen our doors and work through that process and lay it all out and discuss and pray and share and sometimes disagree, and not everybody sees eye to eye, and it, you know, and it certainly has been an arduous journey at times, and we realize, man, we still have more questions than we do answers, even when it comes to being back in the building. And you know, what does being a church that loves and grows and serves, what does that look like when part of our, you know, part of our church family is worshiping at home and part are on site? How do you navigate blending those two together and being a healthy, vibrant, growing church? I got more questions than I do answers, to be honest with you. And I hope that doesn't disappoint you, but, you know, I think about every church is trying to figure this thing out. And most of our families are trying to figure this thing out as we go. And I imagine you're probably trying to figure it out too as you're going forward. And whether it's school or work or sports or whatever it might be, just trying to figure it out as you go. That seems to be kind of life right now. Well, can I tell you some good news? And then I'm going to tell you more good news later. Well, the first good news is this. You are not alone. So that's not good news. That's just reality. It's like, well, it is. But I want to take you back. I want to take you back in time. In about a little over 500 years before Christ was born, the people of God that had been exiled, they were living in Babylon, and they were under the rule of King Cyrus of Persia at the time. And God moves Cyrus's heart to allow some of the exiles to go back home. And when they get that news, there's this realization that, hey, this is good, but our temple has been destroyed. the very iconic symbol of who we are as a people of faith is just destroyed. It's not what it once was. The wall that was around our homeland is pretty much in ruins. And the people that stayed behind who didn't get exiled, because not everybody did from Jerusalem at the time, well, they're still there, and they've married, the men have married women, some of them from foreign lands. We'll just keep it like that. And so they're going, well, we're going to a home where our church isn't what it was, and the way we knew our community is not what it was. And the people that had used to be there have started walking a walk in life that I don't really agree with too much. So I want to go back home, but I got more questions than I do answers about what that life's going to be like when I get back to my home, because I knew what it was, and I knew it used to be comfortable, and I knew it used to be just something that I could do life because I knew the rhythm. Isn't it kind of nice when you kind of have a rhythm and you know how to just live day in and day out and you can just go with that rhythm? You know what to expect. You pretty much know what it's going to be like. And for the last 6 months, for many of us, in at least one way, that has been, rhythm has been turned upside down. It's been sped up or it's been slowed down. It's just, for some, it's gone crazier than others. God saw that in their story. And I want to talk about how God sees that in your story too. But God saw that in their story. You see, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. I'm going to read those this morning. In Isaiah 43, 18, 19, these are the last 20 books of the book of Isaiah. And in those last 20 books, the focus and the timing of that is addressing the exiles who are going back to Jerusalem, who are going back to this new life. And here's what God says to the people. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You like that promise? I love that promise. I think that's a fantastic promise. That God is promising to do this mighty big work in the midst of their mighty big mess. So let me ask you a question. Why in the world, why would God do that for them? And they may say, well, because he loves them. Well, yeah, because he loves them. He had promised to bless his chosen people over the long haul of their relationship with him. In fact, in Psalm 84, verse 11, the psalmist writes this psalm, the song. It says, the Lord gives grace and glory. He withholds no good thing from those who walk with integrity. You see, God had loved them with an everlasting love. And at the same time, he wanted to show these other nations that were around his chosen people that he was the only true, real God. And he knew exactly what needed to happen to get his people from point A to point B. He knew he was the only one who could make it happen. He knew what it was going to take. He knew the timing. He knew the resources. He knew the people he needed in play to make it all happen. You remember the old commercial with the other commercial with the easy button? Remember that on the desk? And they'd be like, just hit the easy button. And it'll be easy. I'm like, well, wouldn't it have been easier if God just hit the easy button? Hey, this is really good now. I like it. Wouldn't it have been nice if God hit the easy button and COVID had just gone away? And life went back to normal. Wouldn't it have been nice if you got an easy button and you didn't lose your job? your child could have had a normal year of school. He or she wouldn't have had to miss out on what they did. Man, would it have been nice if God had the easy button for you. And for us. For you. For us all. God didn't hit the easy button. You see, Israel had more questions than they had answers. And here's what God did. God knows, here's what he did. God called them out to a radical faith in him. I promise you that wherever you're at today, God is calling you to trust him even more deeply than you do at this moment. You say, well, I trust him with everything I've got. But I promise you, he's calling you to trust him even more deeply. And even more deeply. Because the deeper you go, the richer the blessings become. And you don't know that until you step in and you open up more and more and more of yourself to him and say, God, by your grace, pour into me. God, by your grace, strengthen me. God, by your grace, bless me, Lord. Not because I want the blessings, but because by your blessings I can do what will bring you glory and honor in ways I could not do in my own strength. God, bless me. Lead me. I don't have the answers to these questions. God wants them to wait patiently. How many of y'all love waiting? No, nobody. So for those of you at home, there weren't a whole lot of people here that enjoy waiting. What about you? You enjoy waiting? I don't love waiting. You like patience? No, okay, yeah. Not a whole lot. Granted, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit, but still, whoo, growing your patience tends to come with challenges that God's grace helps us to grow in that patience, absolutely. And God wanted them to be patient for what he was springing up, what he was gradually bringing to pass for them and was going to do for them. And I was thinking about this and I thought, I think that's our reality right now. I think like that's the moment that we are sitting in today. Your family, I'm going to guess that your family probably would love to go back to some sense of normal, rhythmic pattern of life. Yep, with a whole lot less restrictions. Yep. What about your family? I'm guessing probably. I know my family would. And we just have more questions than we do answers about if that will and when that will come. And you know that place of uncertainty? Do you know that that's an okay place to be in? That place of uncertainty, it is so hard. Isn't it challenging? But it's okay to be in that place. It's okay to have more questions than you do answers. It's okay. You see, God has the answers that matter over the long haul. You see, our questions have to do with things that we see or can't see right here because our ability is limited to what is right in front of us. We can't see what's coming down the pipe. We just can't. But God is aware of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So God sees far beyond what I see. He knows the answers to the questions that matter. And he knows those answers and how they are good over the long haul. So what can we know then about God and about us that would help us in this time when we're anxious and we're just worn out, you know? A lot of us are just slap tired of this. I get it. Your family's probably exhausted and ready for just to stop. What do we know? We go to Scripture. What does the Scripture tell us that we can know right now? One of the things that we can know is that we are adopted into God's chosen people through our salvation. We are the spiritual family of Israel. We have been brought into the kingdom of God through salvation. The blessings of God promised to his people extend to his church. You ready for this? Can we go to the cross? Let's go to the cross this morning. It's been a long time, right? Kind of since we've been able to do this, but we're going to do this. I love this cross as a part of our worship, because this cross tells us that the good news of God to the world is that God has given me salvation and brought me into his family, not because of anything that I have done to merit that salvation, but because of what Jesus has done at the cross. Right. It's what he has done that I get the privilege and the gift of receiving his righteousness applied to me. And so when God looks at me, he sees Christ in me and says, this one is acceptable to me because of my son in him. That justifying grace has got my sins forgiven and has justified me so that I could, by the work of the cross, stand in the presence of God and say, God, I don't have answers for all these questions, but I know that you have an answer in Jesus Christ. Amen. That at the end, over the long haul, it's all going to be okay for me and for all who call upon the name of Jesus. So I'm tired of wearing masks. Are you tired of wearing masks everywhere you go? I'm guessing we probably all are, just like, I'm kind of fed up with doing that. And the only reason I'm not wearing a mask in this moment here is because I'm preaching and teaching and encouraging, and it interferes with my mic. And I'm going to put it back on as soon as I get done this morning, you know? But we just get so fed up with that. So God, I don't have an answer for how to get past this. And God says, I just need you to be patient. I need you to be patient. And I need you to trust the authorities that I have placed over you. And I need you to abide by the rules of the land that are for your good. I need you to trust that I can work through all of this that is uncomfortable and you don't like. And I know God's not cocky. But man, if you look back in the book of Job, it's kind of like God says, have you not checked that I'm God and you're not?
Yeah.
Have you not checked that I created the heavens and the earth? You did not. Were you there when I did all of this? Were you there when Jesus was raised from the dead? Mm-hmm. Were you there when I said, let there be? No. But I was, and I'm here, and I'm with you. He has the miraculous ability to bring to pass what we cannot fathom and understand in this moment. He is the only one who can bring miracles to our messes. If you got a board in your something, you ought to write that in the board of your house. He is the only one who can bring miracles to my messes. Now, maybe you got it all together, but I'm telling you what, I got plenty of messes, right? So I need to put that on my whiteboard in my office. God, you can bring miracles to my messes. He can bring miracles to your messes, I promise you. And those miracles often come as they gradually sprout up over time. We want them right now. But God says, I'm not going to give it to you right now. I need you to patiently wait and watch for the work that I'm doing. Because I'm in the midst of doing something that is new. Let me be your hope in your hardship. Let me be your rock in your rough seas. Trust me through your turmoil. Say, okay, I can do that. I can do that. I got it. I hear you. How many times have you put a butt in there? Right. I got you, God. I hear the word. But could you hit the easy button? Could you please hit the easy button today? Because I got no more to give today. And that's where God says, I want you to look back at the cross. Don't look at being tired. Because you know when you get tired, what typically happens? You typically don't think clearly. You ever notice that? When you get really tired, when you're run down, you don't think as clearly as you do when you're refreshed, got a clear mind, and you're in a good spot. So when you are tired, that is the last time that that is kind of one of the worst times that you want to trust in your own sense of what is right. First, look back to the cross. look back to the message of the cross that we've already talked about this morning and be anchored in that and say, in my questions, this is my answer. And what I don't understand, this I understand. What I don't know, this I know. And what I can't predict, God, you already are aware of. And God, I have no better form of worship right now than to simply just say, I surrender myself to you afresh and anew today. God, fill me with your grace that I may walk in strength today. Not of my own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. May I be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And may the people around me see that I don't have the answers, but may they see in the way I'm going about step by step, God, that I'm trying by your grace to point the world to the hope I have in Jesus, because that's the only thing that's seeing me through. That's the rock I can stand on today. I think God loves that prayer. I think he really does. For in our weakness, his grace is sufficient. His grace is strong when we are weak. Well, having said all that, I want to put one little piece that we could take away with us as something that we could use in our relationship with God, and it's this. One of the things that might be helpful for us to ask God when we pray is this, and then I'll kind of explain it briefly. What expectation do I need to crucify with Christ so that I can have peace as I partner with you? Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you? What expectation do I need to crucify with Christ so that I can have peace as I partner with you? You know, sometimes our expectations are based on our wants. And then those wants get connected to our emotions. And so our expectations become almost at times something that we struggle to even get beyond, right? We get so tied to an expectation that we fight for it. And if we were in a better place, we would be able to look over that and go, this really is not as big a deal as I'm making it out to be. You know? Sometimes at home, I've caught myself, you know, with Leslie, you know, there are times that we don't see things eye to eye. If you're married, you probably have sometimes where you may not see everything eye to eye, you know. If those kids, you know, sometimes probably with like your folks, like, do you see everything eye to eye the same way all the time? Huh? Right? No, probably, you know, no. But sometimes, though, those expectations, right? We set up unrealistic expectations. And one of the places of deeper peace is learning to crucify those with Christ. It's not about you. And it's not about me. But it is about you and me living life in peace with God and leading others into that peace. What expectation do I need to crucify with Christ, die to, that's just causing so much angst in my life right now, so that I can have a deeper sense of peace as I partner with you? Hey, and here, hey, check this out. If you've been with us through Emotionally Healthy Spirituality Journey we've done over the last several weeks, you have some great tools from those messages to be able to use to help you on that journey to a place of deeper peace and understanding why is it that I hold that expectation so tight and so dear, and saying, God, help me so that I can grow through this journey I'm on. And I want to encourage you as we do that, hey, remember Isaiah 41 verse 10. Check this out. I love this word. God says this. He goes, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Yeah. I got you. Let me lift you up and lean on me. I was gonna say lean on me. I'm like, ain't you? Because you would never come back and watch online if you heard me say lean on me. I'm sure of that. That is the hope we have. God promises, I got you. Trust me. And I know it's hard. But trust me. I am your God. And I know you don't know what's coming, but I got it. And it may not be as pleasant as you had hoped. I got it. And it may take your life in a little bit different direction than you had planned, so your reality won't meet your expectation. But hey, I got it. I got it. Inhale grace. And just exhale worship. I got you. Why? Because I love you. And I promised I would always have you. Keep leaning on Christ. And you can know that he's always got you. Let me pray for us. As our worship team comes to lead us in our closing song. God, I'm so grateful for the promise that you've got us. And then when we don't have answers to our questions and things are like flying by the seat of our pants, you got us. You love us. You're more than able to handle what concerns us today. So by your Spirit, strengthen us in our faith. Give us persevering spirit that is stronger than what we are. And would you lead us forward for your glory and for the good of your church and Christ's mission in the world, to go make disciples of him who love, grow, and serve for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.